This is an MUT Radio podcast.
So for Tibet, for instance, I mean, it was over 100. There was an increase of 150% regarding participants in Kenya, Uganda, and Ghana, and Tanzania. So, for instance, this is what part of the TVET support, and in terms of broad capabilities, I mean, works with policymakers, managers, teaching staff, and so forth, to support flexible skills development. So this is why I'm saying it can actually be part of a community engagement as a university of technology, focusing on competence-based education and training. And then once they've done that, like in Botswana, what they do, there is Madirelo Training Center. They graduate from the informal sector and get either a trade C, trade B, trade A. Once like that, they are absorbed in the formal sector. And we find the Moto Center, a big company, they actually employ them as motor mechanics because, one, they are competent, and they are cheaper in terms of labor. Although trade unions are really, really in the forefront complaining. Same applies in, we have CTF, this is a construction where it's a government program where they take people in the informal sector, train them, and then trade test them. Also work with professionals in universities of technology. For example, Cole has been working with the national, is it NAST in Namibia, and the programs, TVET programs at NAMCO. So, for example, this is what you get in Zambia, where in the informal sector, they go into a furniture shop and see what is actually being produced, and then go to their Mlazi Township and produce and come and sell in front of the main shop. So Cole supports, I mean, all those people. Once NOU participates in call activities, they become a partner, then every 3 years there is a Pan-African forum where all participants are invited. Call monitors its partners and provides awards. These are some of the awards: Award of Excellency for Institutional Achievement, Awards of Excellence for Distance Education Materials, Award of Excellence for E-Learning Experience. For instance, in 2006, Botswana Open University got the Award of Excellency for Institutional Achievement. These go a long way in building the profile of an institution. What Cole asks of you, as an institution, Cole asks for a dialogue about your priorities. As we speak, Cole has priorities for South Africa that are submitted through the Department of Higher Education. And as I indicated, South Africa provides well close to $300,000, if you translate that to rands, it runs into millions. But yet there is no entity in South Africa that is taking advantage of that. And it is an opportunity for MUT to actually take advantage of that. So basically, your priorities for over 5 years. And as I have indicated, the profiling of the institution as a historically disadvantaged women and girls is in the forefront, should be in the forefront. Thank you. Probably at this stage, we can take comments, questions, and so forth.
Thank you very much, Dr. Gacha, for a very brilliant presentation, of which Dr. Makasela of the Unisa Council and myself were privileged to have sat down with you on Tuesday. And now the question which I have is what the attitude of the South African government has been all along. I've heard that South Africa pays something like $300,000 per year in dues, and that amounts to about 5 million rands per year. And the mere fact that there is no entity that has taken this thing up, you know, this goodwill from COF, you know, really it makes one wonder. And because it looks like it's a general disease, I mean, or South Africa. South Africa pays dues in time and in full in so many international and world bodies. The UN, the Commonwealth itself, you know, the parent body, to IPSA, India, Brazil, South Africa, and also in BRICS, Brazil, Russia, India, and China. And so many others, but does not extract, I mean, any benefits, I mean, from such memberships. And then again, the comment, you know, is on the Girls Inspire, you know, that program, you know, which you say that if MUT is interested, you know, it has to portray, you know, I mean, the girl child as well as the women approach. And I think that in that, you know, the former director of UN Women, Pumzile Mlambangula, I heard you mentioning her here.
Yes.
She's back in the country.
Yes.
And I think that she could be drawn into this whole thing. You know, she knows about the issues affecting, you know, young girls, issues affecting women, you know, and so on. And again, on the blue economy, I remember at some point I did invite Mangosuthu University of Technology during the time that I was Consul General of South Africa in Los Angeles. And that was long before even this blue economy operation Pakisa was introduced in the State of the Nation address by former President Jacob Zuma in 2012. And I hear people, I mean, we're still talking about it almost 10 years down the line, because it was announced at the State of the Nation address in February of 2012. And what I just see people's lips moving up and down, you know, Operation Pakisa, Blue Economy, what have you. We have walked this walk with Mangosuthu, you know. I took them to another institution there, you know, the Port of Los Angeles High School, which prepares, you know, pupils who are interested into entering into the maritime and marine section. And then they came back, and they can still traverse on that road of, because what's the good use of deepening our port and then we import labor from abroad? And I think that Mangosuthu would rather take up this, it's a rare opportunity. And I also heard, I mean, from the alumni newsletter, Dr. Tandeka Ellenson, she has also raised, I mean, this issue. How can Durban, you know, I mean, we have a huge coastline here, and there's no institution that is offering, you know, maritime studies. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Rendaba. In terms of the SA government attitude, I think at times we put a lot of burden on the government, and then we don't take up opportunities that the government has created an environment for citizens and institutions and organizations to actually exploit those opportunities. For this is why I'm saying MUT should take advantage of what the South African government has actually done in terms of having a partnership with COF The South African government has exceptionally supported Commonwealth of Learning in an amazing manner. When I was at SADC, they also supported us in an amazing manner. The SADC ODL project that targeted all the SADC member states, all the workshops were actually coordinated from South Africa. We're using Beechwood and Sand. But unfortunately, our counterparts at our level were not coming on board. That is the only issue. Because, I mean, for instance, when we're having the International Conference on Distance Education, the original communities of practice that transformed from correspondence to distance education, to open and distance education, I can assure you we got a lot of financial support from the South African government so that CALL and ICD as partners were hosted by UNISA at Sun City. It was a big conference in 2015 or so. So that's really a challenge. Ma'am, Dr. Phumzile Mlambo is a very good friend of mine. She's my sister. I've supported Mlambo Foundation. This is why I was saying when I had sponsorship for Commonwealth of Learning in collaboration with the Open University of Malaysia, I had colleagues, including the CEO, Ben Shope, I think, who I registered with the Open University of Malaysia to do a master's in instructional design, and other colleagues. Altogether, there were about five South Africans. Yes, the number was small. And the rest were from, I think there was one from University of Pretoria, and the rest they were from the Department of Higher Education. But otherwise, I mean, in terms of the South African government, they've laid up the landscape. They've actually identified CALL as a key partner, and it's all up to institutions to take up and run with CALL as a partner. Thank you. In terms of the blue economy, I think it will be a big advantage for MUT to actually walk the talk. Because what is actually going to happen is by coming on board, MUT will have the advantage of links with, for instance, Seychelles, with the Mauritius, with the Pacific Islands, with the Caribbean Islands. So rather than engaging locally with other universities, they will be motivated to engage with the small islands where the blue economy actually matters.
We have another question from the group online. So Dr. Kotelana, go ahead.
Thank you, Katie. And thank you for this very informative presentation. And I was actually excited listening to this because the Faculty of Management Sciences had been exploring a master's degree in business administration. And this program on master's in business administration and public administration is such an interesting avenue that is worth exploring. And on behalf of the Dean of the Faculty, Dr. Njangase, who is attending another meeting right now, but he was here earlier, so he delegated the task to me to express the interest of the faculty in pursuing this avenue, more so that you mentioned that it is only offered to one institution per country. So he said it is a worthy avenue to explore. And I think in your presentation you mentioned a name that you could then give contacts we could give us contacts of that name should we be interested in pursuing this. And he said he would prefer those details because this is an avenue that it is worth exploring. Because at this stage, it was just before we were it had been approved internally, but we were just due to submit for PQM clearance with the Higher Department of Education master's degree, but it was only going to be focusing on business administration. So this one that is even broader and including public administration, it is a worthwhile program, and more so that there are so many established universities that contributed in this. So, and it would be the only one that is offered in the country. I think this would even take away. I mean, we know politics in South Africa. The bigger universities that are well-resourced and the smaller universities, predominantly black, that are in the township. So when you consider going for an MBA, which university, MUT, would be at the bottom, offering a program of this nature that is backed by those established universities and countries, then it would be maybe worth abandoning the one that we were going to go for and going for this one that has even these dual streams. So if maybe I could get those details on behalf of the dean. But thank you so much for this very informative presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Definitely, I'll give you the details for the CEO and President of Commonwealth of Learning. Yes, the two programs, MBA and MPA, are really advantageous for MUT. And for the fact that you will be joining a part of a consortium, or an international consortium under called Paul is a big brand. I mean, as soon as you become part of it, you will actually realize that it is a big brand. At the Nigerian Open University, they run two programs, parallel programs, the conventional MBA, which has already been for the Nigerian Open University, and the Commonwealth of Learning MBA. And apparently, the Commonwealth of Learning MBA, Executive MBA, is now popular in Nigeria because they like its international flavor, because it helps them to actually migrate to other parts of the world. Similarly, in Asia, is the same, and in the Hainan, for example, when I recall the item number of students who had registered for DBM, Doctor of Business Administration, as a result of the that through Bruce's program, with the support of the institution and co. So once the program is actually registered and accredited with the Council of Higher Education, it actually enables the participants in the program to actually proceed to do their doctorate in business administration in South Africa and elsewhere, you see. So it's actually cheaper to study a PhD or a doctorate than a first degree and an MBA. So thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.